Following in the footsteps of last week, we're going to talk, let's talk about Christmas. You're hearing all about it, so let's talk about it. And let's read from God's Word, the Gospel of Matthew. I apologize to you for my voice this morning. I would gladly have it back, but we'll just have to do it like the rest of the people. Endure to the end. Also, I wanted to remind you that Betty Vinsel's funeral service is at 2:00 this afternoon at Pembroke in the Burials and Angels Rest Cemetery. All right, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning of verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying to Joseph, Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Praise be unto God for the hearing and the reading of his precious and his eternal word. The birth of Jesus Christ, think about that. We say it, it just passes over us sort of, and we don't get the full impact of it. When we talk about Jesus being born, he was born a human being. He was born like any other human being would be born. He was carried in his mother's womb and delivered in the same way any other human being would have been carried and born. We think about this. God the Father Almighty in heaven could have chosen any place, any time, and any way for his son to be born into the world. However, he chose that his son would come into the world the same way that all other babies come into the world, other than the fact that God was the Father and not any human being on earth. And you say, do you believe in the virgin birth? I don't believe you can go to heaven unless you do. Because if you don't believe in the virgin birth, my friend, then you have blasphemed against God and doubted his word in the worst of ways. We are right now covered up with Christmas everywhere you look, everywhere you listen, the radio, the television, the magazines, the newspapers, and everyone else is in a bad rush. The parking lots at the malls are full. The doors are covered with glitter and all that kind of thing. Christmas trees are selling like mad, and people are putting up their trees, hanging up their garlands, doing all the things that we do for Christmas. And shopping. Don't forget that. Shopping. We're doing a lot of shopping. And you say, well, he's come to condemn Christmas. No, I haven't come to condemn Christmas. I'm not condemning it. If your family can get together for the Christmas holidays, I recommend they do it. If you want to make your house look pretty with decorations, I recommend you do it. If you want to get a Christmas tree, then get a Christmas tree. I don't care. There's one thing I do care about, And I care that you know what started all this business anyway. Now, if we want to look at Christmas, I have to tell you, there's a lot of things Christmas is not. You say, what's that? Well, it's not the birthday of Jesus. It's not the birthday of Jesus. I'm not condemning it. I'm just telling you that arbitrarily, somebody, namely the Pope, somebody picked up on the fact that we wanted to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ into the world. And you say, well, how do we do that? How do we know when he's born? We don't know. And let me tell you something. If it had been important for you to know the very day that Jesus was born on, he would have told us. We know exactly when he was crucified. He was crucified at the Passover season. There's a lot of things that it's not his birthday, but it's a time we celebrate his birth. I have to tell you, it's not a time for kings to come from the east. There's a whole lot of things that have been added to the Christmas celebration. That's not for real. We sing and hand out cards, and we sing, we three kings of Orion are, bearing gifts we've traveled afar. Only part of that that's true is that they traveled afar. The truth is they're not kings. They're wise men. They were very wise men. They had studied astrology and astronomy. They had studied the scriptures of the Old Testament, and they knew that there was a Messiah coming in the world. Now, how they knew at that very moment to see that star, I don't know, and we don't know. That part is true. But these, somebody said, three wise men. My friend, three lonely men on three camels going across the desert 500 miles would not have made it. There probably was 100 people in that crowd that came. I don't know how many of the wise men were ahead of it, but the truth is, my friend, when you traveled across the desert in those days, you had to be armed, and in a crowd of people are the thieves, the robbers, and the whatnot would have set upon you and took you. These men, I don't know how many there were more than three. I have to tell you something else. It was not winter time. We sing, it came upon a midnight clear, and we talk about how cold it was and out in the cold with the sheep. They did not leave their sheep out in the cold in Palestine on winter nights. In the winter, they were taken in and they were cared for. In the summer, the shepherds took their sheep out to the hillsides and fed them and watched over them by night. So my friends, we understand that we have added so many things to it all along. And he said, but I like Christmas. Well, I like Christmas too. I really do. I like the music. The music is wonderful at Christmas. I hear on the radio and on television, I hear a higher class music played at Christmas than I usually hear. And every once in a while, somebody gets an inspiration and sings a new Christmas song. And I'm always glad when that happens. I mean, you say you like the old carols? Oh, I surely do. But I like the new ones too. Because I can tell you, my friends, it's when you sing about Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day do all these things? Man, that's good stuff. If Mark Lowry did write it. That's good stuff, and I'm thankful for all of that. But as I look at the Christmas season and all that we're doing, we sort of get lost with all of that. We get lost in the tinsel and all the things that was going on. But the one thing that you have to remember, my friend, is this, that Jesus Christ was born. Just think about it. I'm going to say it again. Jesus Christ was born. I don't know what happened in heaven. Through the ages, God had sent his spirit to the prophets and told us that he was coming. We didn't know when he was coming. I'm not sure that the angels did. You say, well, surely Gabriel did. I'm not sure that he did until God gave the command to come to the earth and speak to Mary and Joseph and come back to do other things. I'm not sure anybody knew. I'm sure that God is not as ignorant as we are. He does not put all of his thoughts on Facebook for the world to hear and see and decipher. God has revealed what we need to know when we need to know it. Something happened in heaven. At some point, the word was given. Every angel must have stood up when God spoke to Gabriel and said, see that little girl down there in that little town called Nazareth? Her name's Mary. She's a virgin. She has never had a child or been with a man. And she's going to be the mother of my son. And you need to go tell her. And when Gabriel left the glories of heaven and came down through the space of time and spoke to Mary, what a day that must have been. We celebrate the birth of Christ with the day we call his birthday. But I want to tell you something, folks. The day we should celebrate is the day of his conception. That's when God, the Spirit of God, the Almighty, moved off of the throne in heaven, walked down across the universe, and implanted himself into the womb of the Virgin Mary. Now, that's remarkable. I wonder, you know, the earth has an atmosphere around it. And in that atmosphere, there are the powers and principalities of darkness. Satan and his fallen angels are in this place around the earth. And they're the rulers of the earth. And they torment and do all the things they do. Wonder what it was like one day when Satan looked up and all of his dirty angels and imps with him. And they looked up and you say they was in hell. I wish they were, but they weren't. The devil and his angels are not in hell. Not yet. They're going. They're going to be there for eternity. But they're not there yet. When the people gathered in the book of Job for a convocation in heaven before the throne of God, Satan came also. And God said, where have you been? What have you been doing? He said, I've been going to and fro in the earth. Uh-oh. So here on earth, and we read in the scriptures about Satan working. He's working here on earth. He's working his dirt, his foul, his ungodliness here on earth. And wonder what it was like on the day of conception. Because most fathers do not know the moment of conception. But God knew the very instant of the conception of Jesus Christ. In fact, you need to go back and read about it in the book of Psalms. And he said, the Lord, talking about God Almighty, the Lord said unto my Lord, talking about Jesus Christ, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make all your enemies your footstool. And he talks to him in that about the time of his conception. So my friend, when God spoke and said it's time, everything in heaven must have snapped to attention. Every creature in the universe must have snapped to attention as we watch to see what the Almighty God is going to do. Now, God had made man. What did God make man out of? The dust of the earth. Isn't that what he says? Made man out of the dust of the earth. And what it must have been for the divine Godhead to leave the throne of glory. You talk about a sonic boom and march across the universe and come down to this earth, and you're saying the Almighty God is moving from heaven to earth. That's what it says. And what happens when he gets here? He becomes an embryo in the womb of the Virgin Mary. God the Creator in heaven, and man made of dust on the earth had become one. That's why his name was called Emmanuel. Why? Because God is with us. Wow. So when we say Jesus Christ has been born, then my friend, we have to recognize that as he was born a human being here on this earth, tempted, the Bible said, in all points as we are. Wow. He's just as human as I am. Think about it. You know what's remarkable about that? He's just as divine as God the Father Almighty could be. Jesus Christ, born of a woman, conceived by the Holy Ghost, has come to this earth, and he lives his life as a human being. When he was born, Mary bore the pains of his birth. When he was born, his blood was spilled, and all of the same things that any other birth brings about. When he was born and 8 days old, he was circumcised according to the law. When he was 30 days old, he was taken to the temple, and he was recognized by the Holy Ghost as they took him in the temple and dedicated him to the Lord. He grew up as a boy, like any other boy grows up. He learned to read. He learned to write. You know, that's amazing to me. And the New Testament says that he humbled himself. He humbled himself to become one of us. And the creator of the universe, who knew all the secrets of the universe, what about him? He learned to read and write. He learned to quote the scriptures. And as he stepped in to the anointing of the Holy Ghost that came down from heaven, my friend, his eyes opened up to the greatness of who he was and what he was. We'll never understand it all. We'll never be able to absorb all that there is in the great God who cared so much for us that he came down here and lived among us. And now has gone back to glory. And I have to tell you, if you read the scriptures very carefully, you will discover that Jesus talks about his life before he came to earth. He talks about his life that he had in heaven and talks about what God has done. My friend, if I had voice this morning to preach and I could be eloquent as anyone on earth could be, if I could spill out all the words in the dictionary, if I could decipher all of the great problems of math, my friend, I could not in any way tell you what needs to be told about Jesus coming to this earth. And I have to tell you, won't it be wonderful there when we get to heaven and we get in the presence of God to look? The angels, the Bible says the angels desired to look at this. The angels desired to look at all of this thing that was going on, my friends, and were not permitted to. You say, well, the prophets saw it. No, the prophets prophesied exactly what God told them to say, but they did not see through it. They, for instance, the prophets never saw the church age. They saw Christ coming. They saw Christ triumphant at the end. They did not realize that in between was a couple thousand years of human history when God, the Holy Ghost, was going to deal with the human hearts and present them his written word. I hear them talking about when the printing press was invented. And I hear them talking about when they learned to write and they went and scratched on the walls of a cave and that's they had to learn to make a vocabulary and write. I'm going to tell you something. I believe there was writing going on in heaven before there ever was a human being on this earth. You say, how come? Because there are books. There are books. And listen, the books are going to be opened in the day of judgment. And they're going to judge the people and read out of those books. Somewhere in heaven. And if you're more comfortable saying he has a computer, well, you say it. But the Bible said he had books. And they've been writing in those books for all these years. I really think Adam was created with knowledge and taught to write by God, and that God taught them also. I don't buy that deal about Adam and Eve being stupid and growing around grunting like a bunch of pigs till they come up with some kind of vocabulary that they could call a language. I don't believe that. I believe he was created articulate, able to talk to his creator. I don't know what language they speak in heaven. The Bible says there's a tongue of men and there's a tongue of angels. I don't know. I know what the tongues of men are. I don't know what the tongue of angels is. But I know this, that they were able to communicate. God came down every day and walked in the garden and talked to Adam and Eve. God spoke from the beginning. And so I believe Adam and Eve were created grown and well, articulate, and able to read and able to write, and taught by the very hand of God. So what joy there is in our hearts, what joy there is in our soul. My friend, all that's going on, my friend, does not do him justice. All the trees and all the decorations, all of the great anthems, all of the wonderful things that happen, my friend, I'm just so thankful that he was born. That's the whole point of the whole season, my friend, is that Jesus Christ was born. He came to this earth, and he came, the Lord of glory, humbled himself down to become one of us. And he carried it all the way through. Sometimes I hear an old hymn that says, all the way to Calvary, he went for me. My friend, that little baby born in the manger, and, well, he wasn't born in the manger, but laid in a manger. That little baby that was there, my friend, was the mighty God come down to save our souls, to redeem us from a life of sin. So today I glorify and praise him. And as you go through this season, my friend, if you want to have a Christmas tree, have it. If you want to have a wreath on your doors, have it. If you want to put garlands around, do it. If you want to tie ribbons up everywhere, do it. If you've got the money and want to buy your wife a new car, do it. Whatever. You know, you say, well, how do you want us to celebrate this time? My friend, as you do this, don't forget, the whole thing is that Jesus Christ was born. God could have said, zappo, there's my son. He could have zapped him onto the earth, put him up on a throne, let him stand upon a pedestal, and just zap people right and left with thunder and lightning bolts and all that. But he did not choose to. He chose to let his son be one of us. My friend, I want you to know that at the right hand of the throne of God, there is an advocate who has been here to this world, lived your life, walked in your shoes, carried your pain and your load, been tempted in every way that you've been tempted, my friend. And only difference was he won the victory. He did not sin. He did not come short of the glory of God, but he won the victory. And my friends, when you go through this season, you enjoy it with your friends. You enjoy it. Don't do what I hear some people saying, they got to go buy their Christmas liquor. That's one of the saddest things I ever heard, is buying Christmas liquor. What a terrible way to try to celebrate the season. Well, he wasn't born in December. We know that. He was not viewed by kings, but only wise men and shepherds. and an old lady named Anna and an old fellow named Simeon in the temple. The Holy Ghost had revealed to them what God was going to do, and they would see Jesus before they died. My brothers and sisters, you have a good season. And don't do like so many of them. I have all these kids, and they come to get married, and bless their hearts, and they'll say, "Now, I just want a simple wedding. I don't want anything big, don't want anything fancy, don't want anything flashy." And that's good. That's great, because you're going to have the money to buy a house or something. Sad thing is, then is after her mother gets done with it, and his mother gets done with it, and Grandma Sally gets done with it, and Papa John gets done with it. They have enlarged the wedding till it's so complicated that people actually have nervous breakdowns trying to get a wedding together. Don't do that. Don't do that to the wedding. Don't do the wedding down till it just runs yourself to death. Enjoy it. You say, "Why are you talking about a wedding?" Well, I'm telling you, that's what we do for Christmas too. Instead of just enjoying the season, instead of just enjoying each other and your family, we put so much pressure on ourselves to get everything done. And you hear people say, "God, I'll be glad when this season's over." How many of you have ever heard that or said that? I say, "I'm sick and tired of this. I'll be glad when this is over." My friend, I'm so sad for you. Be happy if you've got your family together. How blessed you are. Enjoy them. Have a good time with them. And be satisfied with a bologna sandwich, if that's all you got. I don't think a fried bologna sandwich with some mustard is very bad. It's eaten anyway, to tell you the truth. But whatever you do not have to have the greatest of things to be happy. You do not have to have the fanciest clothes to be happy. If you have a roof over your head, and you have shoes on your feet, you have food for your body, you rejoice in what God has given you. You be happy with what's there. My friend, there's plenty of people in the high-rise skyscrapers of New York City who are worth billions of dollars, some of them, millions, lots of them. And my friend, they're not happy. They're depending on what they own and what they control to make them happy. And that doesn't make you happy, my friend. What you need is to know Jesus Christ, who was born a human being into this world, that you could live eternally. And my friend, when Christmas is over this year, I hope what you have left over. Somebody said, "I don't like leftovers." Well, I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry for you. But my friend, I hope when Christmas is done with, that what's left over is the Holy Ghost and the Word of God in your heart and life. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for your great love and your great blessings. Thank you, Father, for all of these thy people who have come this morning. And I pray that they'll be especially touched by your Spirit, especially blessed by your presence. And Lord, I pray that you can convict us this morning to live a humble and a simple life. And Father, that as we view the Christmas season that's all around us, we'll recognize, Father, that every day we live, we're thankful for the grace that's been delivered to us through Jesus Christ. Amen.